Anybody, everybody see it, right? Let's do it.
One, two.
All right, sing it loud. Ready?
With amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see.
You know we gotta speed it up, right?
Well, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone like me. Well, I once was lost, but now I've been found. Was blind, but now I see.
Second verse.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Amazing.
Well, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone like me. I once was lost, but now I've been found. Was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and fear I already know. It doesn't come to me in any kind of way. Amazing grace is what I know.
I made all that up.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved someone like me. Well, I once was lost, but now I've been found. Was blind, but now I see. Well, was blind, but now I see.
Amen. I made it. When I was little, and I would be singing in front of crowds, there's a lot of times that you forget the words. I mean, it happens all the time. But if you're good, you can make up words, and people think that if I hadn't said nothing, you'd have just thought, oh, wow, that's a new verse. Then my wife would have go, he forgot the words again. You know, and everybody would know it. God on the Mountain, you want to sing this one? Okay.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Then things change down in the valley. Don't lose faith, 'cause you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley
trials and temptation, that's when faith was really put to the test. For the God on the mountain
is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right.
And the God of the good times
is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. God of the day is still God in the night.
Man, anytime, let's do it. It wasn't raining.
Come on.
Well, everybody's wondering what's up ahead. The storm clouds are gathering, like the Bible said. We have a shelter that never will fail. So the old shipping sign's about to sail. Sing it, ready?
It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so the rush for the door didn't start till it was dark. Don't wait till the judgment to give the Lord your heart. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark.
From a babe in a manger to the cross on the hill, Jesus made the journey God's plan to fulfill. In love He has done what He said He would do, so that next move is up to me and you.
It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, so the rush for the door didn't start till it was dark. Don't wait till the judgment to give the Lord your heart. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. So the rush for the door didn't start till it was dark. Don't wait till the judgment to give the Lord your heart. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark.
All right, I want you to find three or four people. As you know, I want you to introduce yourself if you don't know them, and listen to me. I want you to be interested in making them feel welcomed. Amen. And when you do that to three people, telling them how extravagantly lovely they look this morning. By the way, you're by yourself, so I just felt like you needed a hug. So anyway, when you done that to three people or four, then I'll let you sit down. Go ahead.
One, two, three.
Everybody hug Kenny. He needs it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, take off your hat if you want to. Fix your hair. Okay, we're good. Let's enter into some worship time. Amen. Because He lives.
One, two.
I want to open up this altar right now. If you want to bring anything to the Lord, that you do it right now.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and He died to buy my pardon. And empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
Thank You, Lord.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know worth the living just because He lives.
And then one day
second. I need to do something right quick. As I was praying right there, the Spirit of God began to speak to me, and we need to deal with something right now. The Lord started showing me that there's people in this room right now, and there might even be people watching, that are dealing with circulation in their body. I mean, there's not circulation, blood flow, those kind of things. And if you would allow, the Spirit of God wants to heal anybody that is having issues with circulation right now. I just need you right now just to get up and come right here and let me lay hands on you. Come on. Anybody it is, just get up. You're just dealing with circulation in different areas of your body. I want to tend to it right now. Now listen to me. One thing that we must always do is be led by the Spirit of God. And I know we can get into an order where this is what we do at this particular time, but I'm here to tell you, God wants to heal you right now. He doesn't want to wait You don't have to wait until tomorrow or at the end of the service when normally we may lay hands on the sick and they recover. God wants to do it right now. I mean right now. So according to your faith, I want you to receive this. Now all you guys out there, I want you to believe God with every person that's standing right here that is dealing with circulation in different areas that are of their body that is causing them some trouble, some hurts or some pains in that body. And I'm here to tell you right now, God wants to heal you. Matter of fact, I said that wrong. I apologize, sir. God has already healed you.
Amen.
Now all you have to do is receive it by faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So Father, in the name of Jesus, you receive that. In Jesus' name, circulation, all the parts of this body from the top to the bottom, circulate in Jesus' name.
Right.
Whatever it is, Father, we give you praise and honor. Wherever it goes, circulate in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise that this body is lined up with the Word of God in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you, Lord. Take your hands out of your pocket. Just receive in Jesus' name that circulation comes now, right? Not later, that it comes now. And God, we give you praise. Lift your hands up in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you, Lord, that this body circulates the way it's supposed to in Jesus' name. Every pain be gone in Jesus' name.
That's right.
And receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Now say, I receive that in Jesus' name. All right, go sit down. Bye. Oh, I just want to lay down at the feet of Jesus with all of my heart. Praise the name of Jesus. There's just no other place that I'd rather be than wrapped up in the arms of the one who died for me. I just want to lay down at the feet of Jesus. Sing that with me. I just want to lay down. Come on, Lord. At the feet of Jesus. With all of my heart, praise the name of Jesus. There's just no other place that I'd rather be than wrapped up in the arms of the one who died for me. I just want to lay down at the feet of Jesus. So I lift up my voice, call on your name, as your presence fills up this place. As we glory, O Lord, at your embrace, and honor you with all of our praise. And honor you with all of our praise. I just want to lay down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, with all of my heart, praise the name of Jesus. There's just no other place that I'd rather be than wrapped up in the arms of the one who died for me. I just want to lay down, thank you, Lord, at the feet of Jesus.
Jesus.
Lift up.
So I lift up my voice, call on your name, as your presence fills up this place. As we glory, O Lord, at your embrace, and honor you with all of our praise, and honor you with all of our praise, and honor you with all of our praise.
Oh, praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Would you tell this band how much you love them, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. It's an honor to have new people here. Everybody sometimes is, I mean, and it's happened for 16 years now of this church. It happened, church at the barn in Lubbock that we started over, gosh, going on 30 years ago. There's always new people, and a lot of times they come trying to figure out what the heck Cowboy Church is. And I understand that. But I think now that it's been around so long that people understand that Cowboy Church is not just for cowboys, it's for all people. And I think that the reason God wanted to start, you know, a kind of a more of a cowboy church is because that's just what we were from the beginning. We rode a horse. Amen. A donkey. I'd take a horse a lot more than a donkey. And I believe that it's time that we get back to the barn mentality. The church we started in Lubbock so many years ago that we turned over to Ted and Jan Currington. It's called Church at the Barn. And when you get back to the barn mentality, that's where Jesus is born, in the barn. And there's a time when you just got to calm down, slow down, come as you are to receive the engrafted Word of God. Amen? So with that said, it's a pleasure to have people that pass many churches to get to this one. We're 4.5 miles outside of town, in the middle of the country. But thank God that Jesus still shows up way out here. Amen? So if you've never been here before, we want to welcome you. That's what we believe that should happen at any church. I refuse to have cliques in churches where people don't feel welcome. And so our church is used to welcoming you. So we just want to see who you are. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, that's right where you're at. Would you mind to just raise your hand and let us welcome you with a big round of applause? Amen. Thank you. Honor to have you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that dog saved? Yes, sir. He born again. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, also, it's a pleasure that we can clap for tithes and offerings. Amen. You know, I'm reminded in the Word of God, and today's message is going to be pretty cool. Fired up, man. I put out a little Facebook post that I'm fired out. My wife and daughter and my mom is in Waco at a barrel race that they had scheduled months ago, and it goes into tomorrow even. And so I miss them, but me and old Seth, we're hanging out here, being able to receive whatever God has for us this morning. So I'm glad to be here. With that said, though, I was reminded that everything that we do in the kingdom of God is a choice. We're going to hear about that today. And one of the choices is your giving, because you don't have to give. This freaks out all my... I pastor a lot of pastors. I don't know why, just being a young man of 51 years old, I'm a young man. Amen. And I just call it an honor that so many pastors called me from all over the country. And the biggest thing that freaks them out was when I say this. It is not a law that you tithe. And I mean those preachers will, what'd you say? Because it's not a law. Matter of fact, that's why Jesus died, so that he can redeem us from the curse of the law. We don't do anything because of law anymore. We do everything now because of grace and mercy, because we want to enter into a principle that God established called sowing and reaping. Now, if you get that in your mind, because everybody says, no, it's a law that you tithe. No, it's an honor that you tithe. It is a blessing that we can enter into God's principles again of the way we give and the way we receive. And the way we give is a choice. And you got to want to get into that way of living. If not, and by the way, that's why I know that this Bible talks about giving in some way 2,036 times. It's because God wants you to owe no man but to love Him. He wants you to get out of debt. He wants to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants to get these buildings finished debt free. He wants us to start living in His ways of doing things, and instead of the world's ways of debt and lack and barely getting by and paycheck to paycheck. He's wanting you to learn, what does the Bible say about tithing? What does the Bible say about offerings? What does the Bible say about first fruits? What does the Word of God say about alms? And when you start digging into the Word of God, you begin to find out that you don't have to do anything religiously. Because religiously, the Bible says God actually hates religion. Because religion is a tradition. Great-grandmama did it. Grandmama did it. Mama did it. And by golly, I'm doing it that way. Except, what if the Lord, you know the Lord? What if He says to do it different? I would rather obey God than man. So when you're learning how to give, then, oh man, that's when you go to God. Oh, Father, I just thank You, Lord, for the gift of giving. And that's when you get into that principle of whatsoever, this is Galatians, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you want to sow in finances, then you got to give it. If you want to be one of those people that hoards it all and buries it by the tree, 6 steps to the right out the back door, 13 steps around the corner to the left of the mulberry tree, you can do all that. But more than likely, you're going to lose where you buried it. But if you give it to the kingdom of God, I'm telling you, and you plant it into His ways of doing things, He'll cause you to get out of debt. He'll cause you to, again, owe no man. Just love Him. Amen? And so when you give in this bucket, and you give in that bucket, and by the way, before you do it, all the visitors in here, hopefully you've got a visitor packet, and you've already reached in that packet, and you pulled out that visitor card and a pen. If you don't mind, fill it out right quick if you hadn't already, and then as we come and give in these buckets, it's an honor that you're here this morning, and we call you. I forgot to tell you this. We call you one time and just thank you for coming. Matter of fact, Doris, would you stand up just for a second? No, you got to. Just stand up. Everybody look at Doris. That's who calls you. And that's the time when you can ask Doris anything about this church. That's a good time to tell her about any prayer request, because we have a wonderful prayer team. We have even ministers that are leading our prayer team, and some of these people, they know how to pray. They intercede. And it's an honor to be able to do that. Amen? But y'all that are giving, I want you to give with an attitude of praise. Because you're entering into God's way of doing things. His kingdom. Principles of sowing and reaping. And so y'all come give with a big old shout of praise in Jesus' name. Amen? Thank you. Receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving, by the way. Praise God. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Way to go, girl. Way to go, guys. Amen. Y'all that are new, it's been like five plus years ago that kids started coming up here, and they started. Go ahead, guys. They started just receiving, and they don't like it if you put it in that bucket yourself. And so, thank you, brother. Amen. So it's an awesome opportunity to take communion this morning. We do it once a month on the first Sunday of the month, and we get to receive and remember what Jesus did for all of us. The bread representing the broken body, so I want to allow in just a little bit of time to hand some crackers out. I'll never forget when I got married, Jamie and I. And by the way, I'm so honored that me and my wife will be married 20 years on Thursday. Yeah, amen. We made it, 20 years. And it wasn't hard. She confessed it last week. We very seldom have disagreements. And if we do, she apologizes immediately. Why did all the women get all upset right then? Oh, everybody knows it's an honor to be married to my wife. What a blessing from God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'll never forget, though, a man and a lady, they were ranchers, and they live in Post, Texas, own big ranch that just drops off that at Cap Rock. You wouldn't think it, being in Post, that area is all farm country, but right there around Post, it drops off. I mean, the canyons are deep, and we got into a helicopter one time and went and watched some Aw Dad, and we got to get rid of some of the population of coyotes, and that was a lot of fun. Well, then, when we get married, we're about to get married, they wanted to have communion there at the ranch. This is Mike and Kelly Macy. Now, Kelly was the widow of Lane Frost, of the movie 8 Seconds. And after Lane died in Cheyenne during the bull riding, the movie was made, and she remarried, and just what a blessing from God. And so her and I did a lot of ministry together over the years, and they asked us to come out to the ranch and take communion. And I just want you to know right now that the juice that I did not know about was real wine, and I didn't know it. And I was like, wow, I just drank. The preacher drank. Anyway, I went back through the line two or three times, and all my Catholic friends, that's right, brother. You know. This bread represents the broken body of the Lord Jesus, and we're remembering that because it's a serious thing in the kingdom of God. Who you are in Christ Jesus determines your knowledge on what the broken body of Jesus Christ is. This juice represents the blood that was shed, that covers a multitude of sins. That's a good thing for us believers in Jesus. So when you start talking about the broken body and what Jesus did for us, it should mean something to a believer's life. Because that means no sickness, no disease of any kind should come near your body because it was broken for you. Jesus had taken that beating, that cat of nine tails, 39 times. The Bible teaches us that no one could ever take the 40th one and survive it. And here Jesus took, not because he had to, at any time he could have said the pain is too much, as y'all know. But I'm so honored that he declared to the Lord, "It's not my will be done, sir, Father, but thy will be done." And he broke his body. I don't have to go through the story of what happened to our Lord. The spitting that they did to him. I spit on his body. The so-called ministers slapped him one at a time. And you study it out, over 100 that would slap him. And then the Bible says they buffeted him, which is the backhand. Slap and back. All for us. When he was put on that cross, on that hill of Golgotha, it was only supposed to be for the thieves and the murderers, not for someone that just declared he was the Son of God. They wanted to make sure he died, and they stuck him with a spear just to make sure. And his blood, it was shed for us. You see, that's why it's so important to me that we remember his broken body and why the blood was shed. You see, we're remembering that right now, that we have all the victory because of what he did. We can go freely and boldly to the throne of grace, which means, in cowboy terms, you can go straight up to God and talk to him yourself. You don't have to do it through a priest. You can go boldly to him and say, "Father, I need you." He redeemed us from that curse. Now, I'm not saying that the curse is still not here because we live in a fallen world, but we don't live of this world. We have the victory because of what Jesus did for us. We can live by doing all things through Christ. We can have confidence in Christ Jesus. We have that dunamis power. All because of the broken body of Jesus and him shedding his blood. That means that marriages can survive. That means bodies don't have to die sick. That means addiction does not have to dominate one, but we have rule over our bodies. That means we have victory instead of being another victim. This is all because of Jesus. I said Jesus. The one that has a name above every name. So when you eat of this bread, we're doing it in remembrance of the broken body. We're not going to forget it. When you're going through a trial and tribulation, this is what you call on. "Father, I have victory over this because of Jesus breaking his body." So take, eat in Jesus' name. And then when you drink of this juice, which represents His blood, the Bible says when you do it, it represents the New Testament. Not the Old Testament. We thank God for the Old Testament, but thank God we now live in a new way. We're the New Testament church. We do things because of grace and mercy, not because of the law. And we establish that. So thank God for His blood that was shed. And as often as you do it, drink it in remembrance of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sending your Son, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for what He means to us. That He broke His body and He shed His blood. And we'll never forget it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen? All right. Praise God. Let me let the people get all these. Thank you, Betsy. And then, because I don't want anybody trampled in church. Just never looks good on the news when one of the ushers are flattened. And then we've got to spend the time raising them from the dead. And and I really don't want to spend the time to raise them from the dead. I want to preach a message. Amen. Kids church and youth group, it's an honor that you can go right now to your classes with a big round of applause. You're dismissed out the back end. Amen. Y'all that are here, turn quickly in your Bible to Genesis. Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Because I want to jump right into this message. Look at that. Half the crowd's gone. A lot of kiddos. Praise God. Isn't it funny? As you read with me in Genesis about what Betsy just said. Genesis chapter 35. Say amen if you're there. Look at verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. That's what y'all did with those kiddos. They're the fruit. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. I want to focus on something right at the very top. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Let me tell you what spurred on this message this morning. And again, I confess, I'm fired up. I'm always constantly examining a lot of things in my personal life, in this church, and so on. A lot of times in our personal life, I always wonder why you go through some things. I wonder sometimes why things don't happen quite as fast as I want them to. In this church, same thing. I sometimes wonder, in a natural way, why, not in a spiritual way, as I understand what the Spirit says, but in a natural way, I'm sometimes wondering, and by the way, this doesn't mean it's right, but I'm wondering why things are taking as long. For example, why has it been, let's say, almost 14 years to build these buildings? Now, don't get me wrong, because I thank God that we've built them all debt-free, and I realize it takes a little longer for things to happen when you don't go down to the bank and you don't borrow money. Because if I borrowed money, then we would have everything that is the vision of this Cowboy Church already accomplished. The only problem is I would be in disobedience to the Lord, because He told me to believe. It doesn't take any kind of belief to go borrow the money. Man, just kind of how we've been programmed as a society living in this world. We've been programmed to go borrow it and get things now. And so, obviously, then I wonder why that kids' church back there is taking quite a bit of time. And then they told me the other day after we had just gotten someone that gave $10,000. I mean, I was like, praise God. And then they tell me, well, we recalculated and we still owe 30 to finish it out, 30,000. And so it causes a pastor then to do soul searching and things like that. And that's really what spurred on this message that I'm going to present to you this morning. I'm going to preach it to you. When you look at Genesis chapter 35 and you read the very first part of verse 11, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty. I begin to study out the words God Almighty. What is that talking about? You know what it's talking about? A name of God called El Shaddai. Well, then when I started looking up that, oh man, I got into a major study. It took a long time to dig down just to kind of know what El Shaddai actually means. And you know what it means? In the Hebrew, it talks about enough. How your God is enough. When you study it out, you'll find out that it's actually talking about a God of more than enough. Now, this is the God that you serve, hopefully. It's the God that I serve, a God that's more than enough. And if He's a God of more than enough, then why am I sometimes living, this is talking about me, not you, but why sometimes am I living on just barely getting by? Now, thank God that this church has been built debt-free in 16 years. Just the ground that we had to prepare before we put this building and the arena and all the parking lots, we got a bid of $600,000. Bringing in caliche, base, all the materials. And this wasn't just from one contractor. There was several. So, as I was led by the Spirit of God, I said, Father, did you hear that? $600,000 just to do the dirt work before we even put the slab in the ground. He said, well, let me tell you what would be a lot easier for you. He said, go buy a track loader and a dump truck and do it yourself. That's what I did. I paid $20,000 personally for a track loader. And then I bought like a 6-yard dump truck for about $10,000. So for $30,000, man, we were digging. As y'all know, down there, there's a big pond that has some good fish in it. If you throw your line in there, make sure you release that fish. Amen. But there's some good old bass in there. Some bluegill. Catfish. I put probably about 100 in it. And not one single person has caught a catfish. So I don't know if they died. I don't know. But anyway, if y'all want to get scuba diving dick gear, we started digging that pond. And we found out because of the ground that I think several feet from up here, it drops to down there. And we knew we'd have problems with water. So we built a retention pond, and how about this? We hit really good caliche. Matter of fact, people wanted to start buying it from us. And so we brought it up here. That's the foundation of this church. We built up the arena. We put it on all the parking lots, and we did it ourselves. When we started building this church, we had people in this church that were contractors, and man, they helped us. Matter of fact, I want you to know right now that there's probably over 100 Bibles that are underneath this foundation. I told anybody that was a part of our church at the time that just bring your Bible and I want to put it in the foundation. I always want to be standing on the Word of God. So right here where this podium is a Bible that I preached with for years and years. And I put it right here so that I could always be standing on God's Word. That's our foundation. And therefore, the foundation has Bibles all over this room. Praise God. But as God provided, we would build. And so when I see a kids' church that we need to get our kids in, man, I start soul searching. And I always find out that it's real easy to limit God in different areas. But how many of you know God is El Shaddai? He's more than enough. Now, obviously, you're going to start thinking about your own personal life right in the midst of this message, because you need to know who God is in your life. That He's a God of again, more than enough. But who is Christ in you? Who are you in Christ Jesus? How do you actually overcome the things that you get into, the trials, the tribulations, whatever it might be? How do you overcome that? One thing that I know is you'll get exactly what you believe God for. Matter of fact, the bar of our faith has no limits. Say amen to that. Because if you find out who you are in Christ Jesus, and you find out who God is, that He's a God of more than enough, then you'll start overcoming a whole lot of things a lot faster. You don't have to build a tent in the midst of a trial and tribulation. You'll go on through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. We don't need to stay in these things. And so here I am trying to figure out, why is things happening a little bit slower? And God's like saying, well, they're happening as fast as your faith is. And so I start saying, well, Father, then I want to increase my faith, not just in my personal life, in this church. If I told you, and God just began to change me, I've always been a giver. I always have been. If I told you in the last 60 days what me and my wife have given financially, it'd boggle your mind. Matter of fact, it'd pay for a house. What the Lord has instructed us to give personally. I mean, it's like you want to talk about stretching. Woo-hoo. But you know what? I understood when I started studying this message that we're serving a God of more than enough. I started thinking about if your harvest isn't enough, you know what the problem is? Your seed sowing hadn't been enough. Y'all are starting to get this. Sometimes I've been preaching the same old thing for years and years and years, and then one day someone will go, I got it. I got that. You said something today and I got it. And I always say, yeah, but I've been saying it for 16 years. I've been saying it for 25 years about sowing and reaping, how we serve the God of El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. He's more than enough in your life. You just got to find out who He is in Christ Jesus. So here's something that I figured out. Everything in our life is a choice. Listen to me carefully. I hear all the time about, you know, everything works for a reason. I know I hear all these kind of things. But you always need to judge everything and be careful of what comes out of your mouth. The things like God's in control, oh really? If He's in control, then we wouldn't have to be up here getting people born again. Because He just calls them to get saved. He is not in control in that regard. You and I are. You and I have to preach this word. We have to live by this word. We have to do the things of this word. Because if we don't, then we can't do anything. Now, we do everything in the name that's above every name, Jesus. We don't do anything on our own. But I'm here to tell you, everything is a choice. So let's turn in our Bibles and start studying this out. Turn to your right just a little bit from Genesis to Deuteronomy and go to chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, most of the time at this church, I have you at the start of the service, I have you lift up your Bibles because I want you to get used to bringing your Word. Matter of fact, you need to get in the habit of having that Word of God with you all the time. Because sometime in life, if you're away from this church, you're going to need that Word. And if it's close to you, you'll know what to do and how to find it, or you'll call someone to find it. But when you literally see what the Word of God says for yourself, it'll change your life. A God that's more than enough this morning. Understanding that, we have to understand that everything we do is the result of your choices. Your life is a result of your choices. And let's read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Say amen if you're there. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you. What? Life and death. What else? Blessing and cursing. Look what it says. Therefore, in the King James, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You know, of course, your seed is your kids and their kids and their kids and their kids. Your seed, man. You want your seed living. See, there's something about choosing, because everything in this earth, in your life is done by sowing a seed or choosing either life and blessing or death and cursing. Let me tell you this. Talking about, death and cursing, if the world or your natural arena has an impact in your life, if you do things like the world constantly, if you're always swayed by how the world does it, then your choice is going to be influenced by death and cursing. That's just how it works, y'all. If you choose to live by the world's ways of doing things, it's because this is what you hear. You know, it's kind of like getting in debt. Well, you get in debt because that's the way the world has programmed us. You die a lot of times because the world has programmed us, and you've heard me say this before, that you have to die sick because it's just part of life. And then you speak out of your mouth a confession of, well, I just don't want to suffer. And before we know it, we don't know exactly what we're saying and that it brings power to our lives. So I don't want to die sick. How about you? I want to die because the power of life and death is in my tongue. I don't want to die sick. No sickness and disease, according to Psalms 91, has no right to my body, my flesh. All right, y'all start shouting here in just a second. So if the world or the natural has an impact in your life, then it's going to be easier for you to choose because you're going to have to choose it. And in other words, life and death just don't fall on somebody. You're going to have to choose that. Sometime in your life, you're going to have to make the choice that, okay, I'm just going to get angry about life because of what's happened to me. Sometime in your life, you're going to have to choose living on the wrong side of the tracks, and that's just the way things are. I'll never forget, ever. And I think I've told this story a time or two. But I was at the college national finals in Casper, Wyoming, preaching. Most of y'all know, we put up a tent. Matter of fact, a lot of people in this church go with us to help us every June. And man, we feed those cowboys and cowgirls. I'm talking about the best rodeo athletes in college in the world. And they come from every single region and state. And the best in the world come there. These are the ones that eventually you see at the national finals in Las Vegas and on TV. That's the elite, the second largest rodeo in the world. Second to the national finals in Las Vegas is the college national finals. And I take a tent there. And for 1 week, they can either go to the tent after the rodeo or they can go to the bar. And thank God they go to the tent. A lot of them. Now, a lot of them, I'm sure, go to the bar, but I mean, I had to get a bigger tent. So many people go to the tent, and praise God for that. 1 year I was ministering. It's been probably 10 years ago, and I don't think Ricky and Daryl had started traveling with me and their family yet when this happened, but it might have been. You can correct me. Just not here. Don't correct me yet. There was a girl that came up to me after the service, and she was talking about her mom. And I had said in the service that, hey, God is no respecter of persons. If he healed blind Bartimaeus, and he healed the woman with the issue of blood, and he healed anybody in the Bible, then he has to heal you if you just believe God for it. She got mad about that. Mad. She came to me and said, my mom is in a wheelchair. And that's just a part of how she was supposed to be, is in a wheelchair. I said, no, ma'am, I disagree with that. She said, but she has a lot of faith. I said, praise God. Yeah, but you said that God would heal anybody, and he hasn't healed her in that wheelchair. I said, well, but that doesn't change God's word. You know, there's something about being bold in the kingdom of God. Anybody out there? Are y'all here this morning? There's something about being bold and speaking the word of God, because it would have been easier for me to say, because here's a girl that's dealing with her mother who is in a wheelchair and has lots of faith. And I said, praise God, God can use her in that wheelchair. But let me tell you something, God could use her more if she rises and walks. Amen. Well, in our minds, though, and this is a choice. This is a choice that we make sometimes. In our minds, it's like, well, maybe God just wanted her to be in the wheelchair. And that's just his will for her life. Well, I can't find that in the Word of God. I just can't. And so eventually, somewhere, we make a choice that we're going to stay in that wheelchair. And I'm not just talking physically. I'm talking spiritually in our minds, that we stay in a state where we should get up and rise and walk on out of it. But we make this choice a lot of times because, what does it say here? That I set before you life and death. They're both right here. Here is life and here is death. I set before you the blessing and the cursing. But then he says, you've got to choose it. You've got to choose either the blessing and life, or you choose, believe it or not, the death and the cursing. But it's a choice that you have to do. So here I am examining myself, and I'm figuring out it's all because of the choices that I've made. Not intentionally trying to have doubts or fear or unbelief, but it's amazing how sometimes, and I'm just being real with you, okay? Sometimes it's just, it's wild how just sometimes those doubts and fears and unbeliefs can kind of creep into a believer's life. But yet when we start looking at the Word of God, knowing that we serve a God of El Shaddai more than enough, that we are to be able to overcome some of these things by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are to start figuring out who we are in Christ Jesus instead of accepting that maybe it's God's will that we be in a wheelchair. I looked at her and I said, man, just with due respect, with all the compassion that I have in my heart, that is not God's best that your mother stay in that wheelchair, because I'm here to tell you, she will minister and reach more people's lives if she got up and walked in Jesus' name. But in our minds, we can't see that. How can God do that? Wow. I'll never forget when my spiritual dad, Glenn Smith, was in Australia preaching faith. Preaching faith. That's by the way, that's how we're supposed to live. If you've ever heard someone being called a faith preacher, you're looking at him I'm a faith preacher. You know why? Because you can't live any other way but by faith. We can't see God. We can't see Jesus now. He was here for a while, but we can't see Him. You know why? Because He's seated at the right hand of the Father. I can't see Him, but I got to believe that He was raised from the dead and He's there by by God's power at His right hand. Praise God. I can't see it with my physical eyes. By faith, I've got to believe it. That's how we're supposed to do in all things in our walk with God. Okay? So he's in Australia preaching faith, talking about how God healed blind Bartimaeus, so he's got to be able to heal you, or he's a respecter of persons. I know some denominations that literally believe that healing went away with the old covenant. Not me. I just decided to believe in a Jesus that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why would we make the choice of unbelief? Okay. So he's preaching. Matter of fact, he said, hey, and God can heal your animals too. If he created them, then by golly, he can heal them. And here comes a little girl, childlike faith. Most of y'all have heard this story. Here comes this girl. He said, Brother Glenn, I want you to pray over my dog. He said, well, be an honor. She said, well, he only has 3 legs and I want him to have a 4th leg. Now, think about it. Even though we live in the world, it's real easy to be tempted to choose to do things like the world. So in our minds, where's the battle? Battle's always in the mind, right? The enemy is going, you're going to look silly when you start praying for a dog to grow a leg. In our minds, we're thinking, there ain't no way. And here's the good thing. All these people in this little town knew this dog had 3 legs. And here's a girl. And Glenn would tell you, if he wasn't in heaven, he's preached here before he went to heaven, he would tell you that he had doubts. He's like, oh, geez. Matter of fact, he put her off for like 2 or 3 times. And the next day she'd come back and say, hey, pray for my dog. Because you said that God would heal him. Finally, after the 3rd or 4th time, he said, okay. And in his mind, there was doubts and there was fears. But in his heart, oh, Jesus. Man, he was believing God. But he was thinking, he testified to this. He was thinking, oh, God, don't make me look stupid. But it was according to that little girl's faith. You remember when Jesus healed anybody, he always said, according to your faith, according to your faith, according to your faith, let it be done. Well, she had the faith that God could actually, if he created that dog with 4 legs, he could cause another one to come on. So Glenn, and this is in his book, and I think we sell it back there, man, Apostle Cowboy Style. It's incredible how God really birthed the cowboy movement in 1970. Just amazing the seed that he had to sow. Because even though cowboys said yes, sir, no, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, had some manners, ooh, they were wild. A lot of pride, you know, fighting, womanizing, and so on. And so just getting past that, man, God used Glenn in a mighty way. Well, here he's praying for this dog because he just showed him in the Word of God, Mark chapter 16, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You going to believe that or not? Is that for you or is it for someone else? Because it's a choice. It's a choice. You're going to either believe the Word of God or you're not. I want you to believe it, of course. And so he knelt down and he put his hand on that dog. And in his mind, he was full of fear of what's people going to think. And obviously, here comes the crowd. Start coming around. And here's this little girl by that childlike faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, in front of all those people, all of a sudden, while he was praying, people started going, oh, wow. Because God put a leg on that dog in front of people. He didn't do it just behind closed doors where you couldn't see it. Now, in a lot of people's minds, because I can feel it, And they're like, there ain't no way. Yo mama. All things are possible to him that. Say it again. All things are possible to him that. Why wouldn't you believe? Why would you be a doubter and full of fear and doubt and unbelief instead of a believer in what Jesus can do? I'm not saying getting goofy with prayer. I'm talking about by faith believing God to heal your body in Jesus' name. And being bold enough to know that it's by the power of God and the choice of us believing and not doubting. Why? Because we serve the God of more than enough. Say that with me. A God that is more. Say it again, y'all. A God that is more than enough. Our God is what? More than enough. Say it again. Our God is? He's not just barely getting by. He don't just barely answer our prayers. He's a God of more than enough. He's a God of? Say it with conviction like you actually believe it. He's a God of more than enough. He can do it. Praise God. All we got to do is believe. You see, it's a choice, because when you talk about living in the natural, in the world, and then all of a sudden you're choosing the death and cursing. On the other hand, praise God, if you live... by the Spirit of God, and you heed His Word, then it's going to help you choose the blessing. It's going to help you choose life, praise God. And that's what we need here. We need to choose the blessing of God, you see. Oh, man. Glory. I'm just on the first page of three. Man, I want to get over here, because, and I'm going to have to wait till next time probably. Wow. Because listen to me. There's a lot of times that we have weakness in some area. The Apostle Paul did. You remember in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talked about a thorn in the flesh. People have a hard time with this. They can't believe that the person that God used to write 2/3 of the New Testament would have a flesh problem. But yet he does. Because he talked about it, a thorn in the flesh. But if you read it, now I want you to turn there, and I'll start closing on this right here. And I'll pick it up next week. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look at this just real fast, and this will be kind of where we'll end it for the day. And then we'll pick it up. 2 Corinthians. And go chapter 12. Say it. Amen if you're there. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me, this is Paul, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure for this thing. Verse 8. I besought the Lord three times. Thrice, it says in the King James. That it might depart from me. So think about it. Here's the Apostle Paul. I mean, God's using him to build up the church at Ephesus, the Corinthians. I mean, he's pastoring little old Timothy. God's using him in a mighty, mighty way. And here he's having an issue. Something that all of us have. And he is talking to the Lord. Matter of fact, again, look at what it says. I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. So here is our apostle that has written 2/3 of the New Testament, again, having a flesh problem. And I thought he was perfect. I thought he never went through anything. I thought, man, this is a messenger from God. Whew. Wrote Philippians when he was in prison. And then talked about joy like 17 times. Remember when he was in that I think it was a prison called Mamertine Prison.
I did a study on it a while back, a few years ago. They remember, they would drop you through the ceiling into the basement, so utter darkness. And in that basement, since they didn't have septic systems, they would want that river, the Titus River or whatever that river, Euphrates or whatever, when the tide came up, it would wash all the junk out of that imperial palace. And here they're dropping him down in there. So what attracts, you know, feces and things like that? Rats. He couldn't sit down. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the one that's having a flesh problem that wrote a lot of the Bible. They chained him up. Chained his arms up because, again, he couldn't lay down, obviously, for obvious reasons. And it was utter darkness because they had put him through the ceiling. And then they would cover it up so you couldn't see anything. Oh, think about that. Fear coming on you. Those rats would come up there and just eat the flesh of those prisoners. Oh, Jesus. And he still writes about joy. You see, it was his choice. He was choosing joy when, in the natural, he could have said, I cannot believe I'm going through this. Think about your life this morning. Some of the things that we've gone through. Maybe you're in the middle of it right now. The Apostle Paul is saying right here, I have a faith problem. Man, remember where I'm at next week, because I don't want to read it. Don't read verse 9, okay? Just don't read verse 9, okay? We're going to talk about that next time. The point is that we're going to get this morning is we serve a God of El Shaddai. He's more than enough. And you don't have to be down about your life in any way, understanding that you have a choice to be happy. Now, I'm not just talking happy like when Dallas Cowboys finally win. I'm talking about joy. The joy of the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Because I think it's a pretty easy choice to not be joyful in these. My Lord. If we turn on the news and we're about to see a debate between Biden and Trump, there's a good opportunity for you to choose anger. Matter of fact, I would suggest if you watch any of that political stuff, do not have your dog close to you. Oh, you're going to kick him. He probably will bite you. Because you're going to have a choice to get mad, get angry. But you know what? You're going to plant your seed and you're going to vote. Plant your seed. Get out and vote, man. That's the democracy we live in. Thank God. It's powerful, man. But think about the Word of God. Think about choosing this Bible that is full of hope and joy. Because you have an opportunity to choose how the world thinks. I'm going to give up. So I declare right now, no matter what you've gone through, if you've had a death in your family, you keep going because you're not dead. You're alive. Come on, say amen to that, y'all. You are alive, praise God. You're not supposed to die with someone. Thank God the Bible said death has no sting. If you're born again and you know where they're going, then you're just going to meet them sometime soon, praise God. Not real soon. Don't die today. I don't have time to do a funeral. No, you keep living, praise God, because you're still here. If you're going through a tough time in your marriage, then by golly, you start speaking life over that thing because you've got a choice. You can either give up or you can move on in Jesus' name. If you're going through struggles financially, start sowing the seed, because if you don't reap, it's because you haven't sown. And I'm telling you, if we'll start sowing, we'll start seeing that kids' church built in Jesus' name. Do you notice we don't do a lot of begging here? I'm serious. A lot of churches have 16 different offerings. You know what we're going to do? We're going to believe God. But the choice that this pastor is going to make is I'm going to get my faith up and I'm going to start giving more so that I can receive more. And we're going to get it done. And if you would join me, not just barely getting by, because after we build that kids' church, we're going to cover an arena. Couldn't even practice with my friends today because it rained at my house. Thank God for the rain. It was a joy to call or to text him and say, I'm sorry it flooded. But it didn't flood here at this church. I don't know why. I guess AJ and Joni's roof leaks. And they were praying, no, Lord. No, they're saying, wait till tomorrow. Because it could rain tonight, you see. Listen to me. I choose life and blessing. How about you? How about you? Are you going to stay down for the rest of your life because of what someone did to you back when? Are you going to get up? Are you going to stay offended over a church that hurt you in the past? Or are you going to stand up and allow God to use you where you're planted? Because you grow where you're planted. Are you going to do what the kingdom of God declares you are in Christ Jesus? Or are you going to be defeated by the belief of what the devil has to say about you, that you're no good, or you're not smart enough, or you're not talented enough? No, why don't you tell that devil to get under your feet where he belongs, that you are someone in Christ Jesus? I mean, if God can use a cowboy. My mother-in-law gets on me because I don't say sentences perfectly with English. But you know what? God's using me. I can get it out, praise God. If there's a few ain'ts, it's okay. It's in the dictionary somewhere. But I'm going to believe that word, that I serve El Shaddai, a God of more than enough. And that's how I want you to live. Would you do that this morning? You serve a God of more than enough. So why don't we all say it one time together with conviction? My God. Say that. My God is more than enough. Say it again. My God. He's my God. My God is more than enough. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did you have a good time this morning? All right. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you, Lord, that this is a great opportunity. If someone doesn't know you, they don't know if they go to heaven or hell if they left this earth. The choice now that we set before them, matter of fact, you said it. You set before them life and death, blessing and cursing. And you want them to choose life. The only way to choose life in heaven, according to Romans 10:9, according to John chapter 14, verse 6, is that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father is by Jesus. Not cowboy church, not a denominational church, not being a good person. The only way to go to heaven, and by the way, sir, we can have heaven here, is by Jesus. Jesus. So if there's one person at the sound of my voice, sir, that does not know what would happen to them if they died and left this earth, I ask you to cause their choice this morning, not tomorrow, not another time, not when they clean their life up. No, that's not the time to give your life to Jesus. The time is now. And I ask you to just cause their heart, draw it, your Bible says, my Bible says, you'll draw their heart to you. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now. And what we're going to do, it's going to be real simple, but what you're going to pray is going to take faith. It's not hard. It's just going to take faith. You're going to pray by faith. You're going to believe it, in other words. You're going to pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to be the Lord of your life. come into your heart and save you. And the reason that I want you to do that is because you're going to choose life and blessing, because that's what Jesus is. So if you're here this morning or you're watching, ask yourself this question: what would happen to me if I left this earth? Would I go to heaven? Or would I go to a place called hell? You don't want to go to that second place. Mm-mm. Please don't choose that. Now, understand one thing. As a minister of the gospel, I cannot make you do anything. It's going to be your choice. That's the cool thing about God. The reason He's not in control completely of our life. Now, don't get me wrong. He knows the end from the beginning. He is God no matter what. But you have a decision. You have a will. You can say yes to God or you can say no to Him. And I'm asking that you say yes to Him. If you never received Him as Lord, do it right now by praying a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting or standing or watching to pray a prayer. You're praying it to the Father, and you're doing it in Jesus' name. And you're asking Jesus to come into your life. So if you're here this morning, you've never done that, you don't know what would happen to you if you died, and you want to choose heaven and blessing, then pray this prayer with me. And all the believers, we're going to pray it with you. We're just going to do it with you. If you're a believer, pray this prayer. You need to learn it anyway. But if you don't know what would happen to you, you've never made Jesus the true Lord of your life, think about that, Lord, then I want you to do it right now by praying this prayer. Out of your mouth, you ready? Believers, pray it with me, please. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. I need you in my life. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen, before you say amen, if you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life, don't ever be ashamed of that. Matter of fact, Jesus, He was not ashamed to die for you and die for me. So what I want you to do is, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to be bold. When I count to three, one, two, three, if you just gave your life to Jesus, you didn't know what would happen to you if you died, but you just prayed that prayer. When I say three, I want you to raise your hand up and then just put it right back down. And what you're doing is you're acknowledging Jesus before a man, for us men. We're going to give you a Bible. We're not going to embarrass you, though. I want you to be bold, though. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus this morning for the first time, shoot that hand up when I say three and do it with boldness in the name of Jesus. You ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Praise God. Anybody else? Let me see the hand. Just put it right back down. I've seen you too. Praise God. Look at me, y'all. Thank God for two. Amen. It's amazing, amazing. God, thank you. So many people get saved here. Now, if you got saved, in that Bible, there's a little card. Fill it out if you don't mind. It just helps us know. We want to help you. This is not the time to just get fire insurance that you're going to heaven and not hell. This is a time you start learning who you are in Christ Jesus, because you're in a different kingdom. You're in a new family, the family of God. Amen? All right. Man, I had fun. All right. So, it's y'all's responsibility in Jesus' name to remember where I left off. I should remember. I better don't. Just a couple of announcements before we leave this building. Is hopefully when you came in, do not miss this, and I want you to spread the word. that we're having all kinds of political speakers come to this church on a Tuesday night. Some might say, why in the world would you let them come to this church? Because we want to hear about how we engage as Christians. I think Christians too many times have not stood their ground in the way our country is going. And we need to get it back to the foundation that God started from the beginning. And it's going to take all of us coming and hearing last year we did it, we had a Supreme Court judge of Texas. We had federal judges. We had just county judges and so on. Oh, man, we had congressmen and senators, representatives. I mean, it was amazing that Mike got a lot of people. So I want you to put it on your calendar. This is going to be September the 15th. So that's what, not this Tuesday, but the next. And we're going to come and we're just going to support it. It's for the town. It's just not for our church. And so spread the word on that. As y'all know, we're still believing God. And it's coming in that we're going to get that kids' church built. And so it's time we get our faith going. Let's get our faith rolling so that we can get that finished and start on something else. And so we just thank God for all of it coming in line and the finances to come in now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited about the women's conference on November the 14th. Put it down. You've got Ann Smith. Glenn Smith, my spiritual dad, is in heaven, but Ann's still living, and she's coming to speak to us, as well as my wife, Jamie, and a wonderful lady. They pastor a church in Greeley, Colorado, Lynette Gleghorn. And that's going to be on the 14th. The very next Saturday is the men's conference. And Rusty Phelps, myself, and it's funny because we're either going to have Chip Brim, amazing man of God, or we're going to have Jackie Stevenson. They're fighting over who's going to do it. So I don't know which one. So they got to make up their mind this week so I can put their picture in a flyer. Either that or I'm going to put both of them and I'm just going to have people flip. Which one is going to come? I don't know. But that's going to be on the next day. We're going to cook fajitas. We're going to have... It's just going to be a one day. Men, you know what it's called? Thank you, Ricky. Bold and Godly Men's Conference. Invite every man you know. Matter of fact, you're going to see a lot of men from at least Texas come to this conference. And we're going to do it right here on the, I believe that's the 21st. Amen? And then, again, don't forget about Tuesday night. Man, Bible study is getting better and better and more attended. So don't forget, that's where you make relationship is on Tuesday night. Amen? Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Glory be to God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just a great time in your presence. Now, Father, as we always declare, the Bible says you never leave us and you never forsake us. So you don't stay here. You get to go with us right now. So, Father, we want you to be a part of our lives in all areas. And we just thank you, Lord, that we serve you, a God that's more than enough. And we give you praise. And until we come Tuesday or we come next Sunday and we invite people even, we're excited what you're doing here at Cowboy Church. So continue it. As we continue to believe by faith for the harvest, for the kids' church being built, and so on. And we love you, love you, love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.